Working moms, today we are doing a listener question and answer. We are diving into questions that you submitted via email or social media. And in today's episode, we are covering questions around what happens when you simply do not have enough time to get everything done and how you handle all of the overwhelm that comes with that. We will talk about what happens when you slip back into cycles of over-prioritizing work and scheduling over times of self-care. And lastly, we will dig into compromising on parenting boundaries and what to do when your kid just wants to eat fruit snacks for breakfast. This is going to be a two-part series. And next week, we are going to be covering additional questions that were submitted from listeners just like you. So be sure to hit the subscribe button and tune in wherever you listen to your podcasts. You're ready? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Ambitious and Balanced Working Mom Podcast, the place for women who want to balance their ambitious career goals with their life as a mom. If you're looking to feel more confident, decisive, and productive at both work and home, then this is the place for you. I'm your host, Rebecca Olson. Let's get to it. Hello, hello, working moms. I just have the greatest story that happened last week. So I had this coaching session with one of my clients, and we were talking about the 75-25 rule. Now, I recently did a podcast episode on that. You can go back and take a listen to that. But basically, what I was talking about was anything after being 75% prepared is sort of a waste of your time. Your preparedness should be about 75% in knowledge and in skill set or whatnot. And then 25% of your preparedness should be in you just simply trusting yourself and your knowledge and your skill set and your ability to be flexible and adapt and your value and all those things, right? So 75% should be prepared in knowledge and 25% should be preparation in just your own value and knowing your worth and how good you are and your ability to, you know, do whatever it is you need to do. And so I was having this conversation very directly with the client, and I gave her some homework because she had this big presentation the next morning. And I gave her this homework. I said, you are not allowed to prepare any more for your presentation tomorrow. And you could just feel like the tension rising within her because I had a feeling, she didn't tell me this, but I had a feeling she was going to spend the evening like logging back on after her kids were asleep to prepare for this presentation the next day. And so I said, you're not allowed to prepare anymore. You are way beyond 75% prepared in knowledge for your presentation tomorrow. Instead, I want you to take the time to prepare your mind and heart. I want you to take the evening. I want you to spend no more than 10 minutes. And I want you to just journal about how you are prepared enough and how you trust yourself that to execute well on this presentation tomorrow. And I just want you to get your head and your heart into that place where you just know that you know that you know that you are going to nail this presentation, that you have prepared plenty for it. You're the right person to be delivering this presentation and just really bolster your sense of confidence and your sense of belief in self. And then I told her tomorrow morning, first thing that I want you to do to kind of prepare yourself for your presentation is not like go back over your notes or anything like that, but I actually want you to take 15 minutes and I want you to visualize the entire presentation going perfectly, like exactly the way you want. I want you to imagine how you would show up in that space. I want you to imagine everybody you're presenting to and them receiving your presentation and it going really well and there'd be smiles. And I want you to prepare your mind ahead of time to see you nailing this presentation. And then I want you to journal about it and journal about how well it went. And you're doing this ahead of time because you're showing your mind what's going to happen later today. And you're kind of preparing your mind and your energy for that so that you enter into the presentation with that energy. Okay. So that was all of her homework. And I got this message from her. I was just like, I literally could burst out into tears as soon as I got it. She sent me this message after it was over. And she said, I did what you said, even though it was really hard. I didn't prepare any more for the presentation. I spent the time with my kids and I got a good night's sleep. I did the visualization like you told me to do. And I have never felt better about how I showed up and delivered a presentation in a really long time. Isn't that amazing? Yes. 25% of being prepared is really just you feeling that sense of confidence and knowing that you can do it and that you're flexible and that you have all of the knowledge and value and that you wouldn't be here if you didn't already. Oh, so good. I'm so excited for my client. I just had to share that with you because it just brought so much joy to me. It actually works. Yes, it works. I'm not just giving you just theory. I'm actually building these concepts that I teach on this podcast from the work that I do with my clients, and I am bringing it here to you. All right. So good. All right. I want to dive into today's episode. We are going to be doing another listener question episode. Woo! Super excited about that. Recently, I put out into social media and out to my email list, you know, what is top of mind for you? Where do you need some more support? And I received a bunch of feedback and I'm going to be answering several of those questions right here on this episode today. I'm actually going to break it up into two episodes because I received so many questions and comments that I wanted to keep this episode to 20 to 25 minutes and the next one. And so you're actually going to see a back-to-back episodes here of these questions that I am answering of you. So if you are not on my email list, be sure to get on my email list. I will put a link in the show notes on exactly how to do that so that you can stay tuned in to the next listener question episode. You can get personalized support. I answered every single one of those emails personally and interacted with them, and I would love to do that with you as well. All right, so today we are going to be answering some of the following questions. We're going to be talking about what happens when you just feel like there's not enough hours in the day? Sticking to your parent boundaries with your kids, not being able to hold time for self-care and kind of slipping back into old work habits. This is going to be such a good episode. Let's dive in. All right. The first question comes from a mom that follows me on Instagram. And here is what she said. She said, there is just not enough hours in the day. I could listen to all of the podcasts, read all the books, and know all the time management hacks, but it doesn't change that I am in meetings most of the day and get annihilated with emails. I got 90 emails one day after thinking I'm all done clearing the 100 in my own time just over the weekend, and I still have to get the job done. I do love your podcast and implementing things, but until such a time as I don't have to cover other roles and mine, and or I can get cloned, I just do what I can and try not to feel so overwhelmed. So good. I wanted to lead with this question because not enough time is something that I know all of us can relate to. And just as she said, it doesn't matter how many time management hacks you have. I have a client that recently started with me and she's like, I have read Atomic Habits. That's essentially a time management book. And so she's like, I've read that book like four times, right? It's like, it doesn't matter how much of these kind of hacks that you know, it doesn't change the fact that there's still 24 hours in the day, right? It always feels like there's a shortage of time. It's a very common experience for us as ambitious working moms. And so first thing I want to say is that this mom, she sounds amazing, right? She's clearly doing so much, holding it all together. And I appreciate her honesty with this comment. And I just want to highlight what she said at the very end, because that's what we're going to focus here. I'm just trying to not be overwhelmed. That's what I want to zero in on right now. There are only 24 hours in the day. That never changes, right? Except for one day in the year when there's actually 25 hours in the day, but we don't need to go into that right now. And hopefully, actually in America, at least that's going to be changing. I could give this mom lots of advice and tools on being more productive and efficient with her time. I'm sure she probably on some level knows all those things if she's been, you know, following along with any kind of time management strategies or hacks. And I do talk to my clients a lot about that. There's a lot of ways to draw more productivity out of your time, but it doesn't sound like this is exactly where this working mom is at. It doesn't sound like she needs more options on how to be more productive. There's just simply not enough people on her team, as she kind of alluded to that, and maybe they're hiring and maybe there'll be some relief in the future. But it's clear that this mom is choosing to stay in this job and in these circumstances for whatever reason, right? And what she's trying to do is just not feel overwhelmed. So I want to offer a few thoughts. And the first is that overwhelmed tends to happen when you are thinking that I have too much to do and there's not enough time, right? Overwhelm actually has nothing to do with time. It has to do with what you are thinking about your time and how you should be doing more with that time, right? It's about what, how much you produce and the expectation of how much you produce within a given time. And that is something that you have complete control over. Your expectations of what you can get done in a certain amount of time, or essentially what you think about how you're spending your time, that is within your control. And for someone that chronically, which most of us do, have this longer to-do list than the amount of time to complete it, right? Rather than focus on selecting just a few things to get done off of your list, I want you to actually do the opposite. This is going to help you with your overwhelm. Instead of deciding what you're going to get done today, I want you to decide what you're not going to get done today, right? Or this week, or whenever, right? Whenever you map out your time, what are you not going to get done? Because in actuality, most things don't get done, right? We kind of have this never-ending thought like, oh, I'm gonna prioritize this, but if I just have a little bit more time, then I'm gonna try to get to that too. It's kind of like a secret agenda. A lot of my clients do this, right? You kind of have a secret agenda. If I get this done, then I'll move to this. I don't want you to do that. I want you to decide what you are not going to get done today, because the likelihood that you're going to get it done today is probably small. And if you have the thought, I might get to it, and you don't get to it, right? Then you actually start feeling bad, and you feel guilty, and you feel like you should have gotten to it today, right? You should have been more productive with your time. And that causes you to feel overwhelmed, right? So with this strategy, you actually decide ahead of time what you are not going to do. Just tell your brain, hey, this isn't the priority. I'm not focusing on this. And I literally want you to cross it off your list, because there's likely no way that it's ever going to happen within today's time frame. So that's one thing that's going to really help you with your overwhelm, is to decide what you're not going to get done. Let it go. No secret agenda. Just cross it off your list. So your brain just kind of says, oh, I have decided not to do that. That feels so much better than thinking you might get to it, which is likely not going to happen, and then not getting to it and then feeling bad about it, right? Feeling overwhelmed by it. Now, the second strategy to end the overwhelm is to, when you have more items on your to-do list than time that is allotted, right, is at the end of your workday or at the end of your day, however you want to do it, I want you to take time, even if it's just 5 minutes, and I want you to list out everything that you did. I know some of you kind of might roll your eyes at this, right? It feels really simplistic, but when your brain literally starts to see you list 10 things, 15 things, 20 things on your list, it's really hard for your brain to say you didn't get enough done today and that you should have done more, right? Your list is likely going to be full every single day. You are a busy, ambitious woman that is juggling lots and lots of things, and your brain is hardwired to see all the things that you didn't do, right? And you have to put intentional effort to remind it of the things that you did. And that's a key part of ending this overwhelm cycle, is to feel like you did enough today, right? Again, that feeling of overwhelm comes from thinking I didn't get enough done today, and kind of thinking that you should have gotten more done today. And so what you're doing is you're taking a moment, even if it's just a few minutes, to intentionally direct your brain to the things that you accomplished and to tell yourself, I did enough. Give yourself a pat on the back. Let yourself smile. My guess is naturally your whole body is going to kind of relax as it starts to focus on the things that you actually did. Now, I really don't care if you end up having 5 things on that list or you had 30 things on that list. It really doesn't matter. All you're doing is you're directing your brain to your accomplishments, which is going to help, even in this brief moment, kind of end those thoughts that say, I should have gotten more done. I didn't do enough, right? Because your brain is focused on what you did. Such a good one, right? To start out on this, with this question, with this thought, I don't have enough time. How do I end the overwhelm? So those are two strategies to help you end that overwhelm. Okay, so this second question, it came from a working mom who owns an organizing business. Her name is Erica, and she says, I need help sticking with parenting boundaries. For example, I hate when I let my kids eat fruit snacks, because I'm just too, I can't even speak today. For example, I hate when I let my kids eat fruit snacks for breakfast because I'm too tired to fight another fight. Okay, now I don't know about you, but I 100% have let my kids eat things like fruit snacks for different meals when I am just simply too tired to do anything else. So I totally can relate to this. And I am sure all of us can relate to having like a whole purse full of snacks that we feed our kids at a meal when we don't have time to make a meal, or we go out to dinner and you know they're not going to like anything, right? We get it. But here's the question. It's, I know this is not just about eating, right? That's just an example. Her question is about parenting boundaries and sticking to them. Now, the most common reasons that we do not stick to our parenting boundaries, and well, just to be clear, what I mean by that is like you've told your kid they can't do something or they can do something or whatever it is. You've drawn a line in the sand, like with the rule, you've told them what it is, you know, when at the time that they have to go to bed or when they have to do homework or they can't play video games until after homework, whatever it is, right? Whatever your parenting boundary is, it's a stated expectation. That's what we're talking about. And the most common reasons that we as parents don't stick to our stated expectations is because our kids have big feelings about them, right? Everyone hates a meltdown. When our kids have big feelings, whether that is a full-on tantrum or they just stomp their foot and they have a bunch of resistance, right? When our kids have big feelings, it rattles us. And the reason it rattles us is because we start to think that they shouldn't be having these big feelings. Something must be wrong with them. Like, why can't they get over this, right? And then we start reacting and responding in this way because we believe that they shouldn't be having the big feelings that they're having. Or we think maybe something is wrong and we've done something wrong as a parent because they're having these big feelings, right? I did a podcast on this a while ago around children's big feelings and why it's okay to let your kids experience really big feelings. So I'm going to link to that in the show notes because I think there's a goldmine of information in that one. But it applies here, right? If you tell your child that you cannot have fruit snacks or candy for breakfast, and then they have a meltdown, there is nothing wrong with your child. They simply are expressing their dislike for your boundary in a way, the only way that they likely know how. And or it's the way that they have expressed it in the past that has actually gotten them what they want, right? Our kids are smart, right? They are better at expressing their wants and their desires and their dislikes than we are as adults. They don't have the filter like we have. And so when they want something and you say no, and their response shows you how they feel about it, that's actually a good thing. We actually want our kids to be able to speak up and to express their feelings. Over time, we want to help them shape that expression into something that's a little bit more calm and a little bit more reasonable and a little bit more rational. But the emotion is not a problem. The problem comes when you make that emotion mean something about them or something about you. Usually that something is wrong with them or you, right? Because you're believing that they shouldn't be acting that way or that they have a behavior problem, or you start kind of over-dramatizing and, oh my gosh, they're always going to act this way. They're going to be an overreactive human as they get older. And then we make that mean something about us as humans and we start storytelling about that, right? We talk about telling ourselves stories on this podcast a lot. Now, the first thing I want to offer to you, Erica, is that sometimes it's okay to compromise on your boundary or your stated expectation. I've been working really hard with my kids on having some stricter boundaries around food and around screen time and around sleep. And those tend to be like my top three areas that I get a lot of pushback from my kids on. And sometimes when they push back and they're like, well, why can't I play that game today? You know, I have to stop and go, you know, I don't know. I don't know why today you can't play that game. I just said no. And I'm going to stop and think about it for a moment. And then I come back to them. I'm like, you know what? I was wrong. There's really not a good reason. You've done your homework. You've done all the things. I think it's okay that you play a video game today. I'm sorry that I said no to begin with, right? Just sometimes it's okay to compromise. Sometimes it's okay to tell your kid, you know what? Mommy's feeling really tired today. We're going to make an exception and you can have fruit snacks. That's no problem. Usually when you're making an exception, I would let them know it's an exception so that they get in their mind that this isn't something that we usually do. Like, you know, we don't usually have fruit snacks for breakfast, but I could see you really want it. And we don't really have a lot of time today and I don't have the energy to cook something else. So I'm going to say, we're going to make an exception today. And yes, you can have fruit snacks, right? You can give them a whole explanation, which is helpful in just kind of framing this up in the future. Because I know a lot of times, one of the reasons why we don't want to compromise on our boundaries, we don't want to set a precedent for the future, right? Well, you could just tell them that this is something special. And they start to get in their mind that sometimes we do special things and that's okay, right? My daughter didn't want to go to school the other day, right? She kept getting back into bed and putting her sheets over her head and turning off her light and turning on her sound and putting on her sleep mask as if she was going to go straight back to sleep. And of course I didn't, I knew she wasn't. And I would coax her out of bed and then I would get her dressed and then I would turn around and she'd taken off all of her clothes. She'd put back on her pajamas and then she'd gotten back into bed. Literally this happened multiple times in the, over the course of 45 minutes. It was super frustrating. Now, my stated expectation to her was that she would be going to school and that we would be making it on time. But after a few minutes of this kind of version of a tantrum, because she's 9 and a half, so her tantrums look a little different these days, but I would still call it a tantrum, I had to drop the expectation that we were going to be on time. Like, that was not the most important thing in the moment, right? The most important thing is that she was going to school. And that was what she kept telling me, is that she didn't want to go to school. She was too tired. And I recently shared this story on the podcast about getting my kids to church on a Sunday morning, if you remember. And once again, I had had a lot of resistance from my older one on this expectation that we would be going to church on Sunday. And very quickly, in the midst of her version of her tantrum and her resistance about this, I just dropped the idea that she was ever going to enter the building. Right? I said, it's fine. You have to go to church, but you don't have to get dressed and you could just sit in the car. That's okay with me. I moved the expectation a little bit. I adjusted it to the moment and said, here's the line in the sand. You are going to go to church, or in this case, you're going to go to school, but you can go in your pajamas if you want. And then with school, I kind of dropped the idea that we would ever be on time. Now, I didn't tell her that, but I just dropped it in my mind so that that didn't become part of the resistance as well. Now, of course, as it turned out with the whole church thing, is that when we got there, she immediately wanted to go to church. So it's a good thing I slipped some like clothes into my bag, because she got dressed. She ended up coming in with me, right? Now, it doesn't always happen that way. I wasn't expecting that. But when I was clear on what the boundary was and she was clear on what the boundary was, we kind of knew what we were working with. So it's okay to shift your expectation or change your boundary. I would just be really clear that you're doing that in the moment so that the kids know there's exceptions to that and what the stated expectation is for this moment and maybe why it's different than it has been at other times. Now, the second thing I want you to be aware of, Erica, is the story that you're telling yourself when you compromise on your boundaries, right? Are you making it mean something negative about you that you're compromising? Are you making it mean something negative about your kids that they want fruit snacks and that they are going to have a meltdown if they don't get fruit snacks? Like, what's the story? And I want you to challenge that story. Is it really true that you're a bad mom if you let your kids eat fruit snacks? Or if the morning is just a challenging time for everyone because everyone's tired? Or that your kid doesn't want to do homework? Is it really true that there is something wrong with your kid, that they only like fruit snacks and that they don't like eating other things, or that they don't want to get dressed in the morning, or that they hate doing their homework? It's the story that's causing your feelings. And so we want to make sure that you are consciously aware of what that story is and that you're questioning if it's true or not. All right, question three. This comes from another mom on Instagram. She said, I need help staying committed and consistent with self-care and boundaries. I keep reverting back to prioritizing work. When my clients start working with me, one of the things that we identify is their cycles. When they commit to something, whether that's a workout time or a time of day that they want to leave work or that they're not going to log back on after their kids go to sleep, we look at these commitments that they want to make for themselves and for their family so that they start prioritizing themselves and their family. And we look at the cycle that they have in breaking those commitments, right? Because it is a cycle. It's literally cyclical. And when we step back and we analyze it, what's really going on in these moments? Is this happening at a regular time of day, a regular time of month or season or year? When do you tend to compromise on these commitments that you have for yourself? What are you usually thinking in these moments? What are you usually doing as a result, right? Our goal as we look at these cycles is to normalize it. You are a human being and you are hardwired to focus on the things that you haven't done instead of the things that you have. You are hardwired to focus on the negative and have negative self-talk, not positive, right? You are hardwired to work, not to experience joy and happiness. No one is free of these cycles, right? We all are compelled and have urges to kind of fall into bad behaviors, into the things that we want to change. This is not a problem. It's a human experience, right? We all have habits of behavior and overworking behavior and not prioritizing ourselves behavior that becomes a habit in our mind. So now you are a human that doesn't naturally want to do self-care and you have a habit of not doing it. And if we kind of add a third piece of this into this, we have a culture that tends to reward overworking and not doing any kind of self-care, right? So you have three things that are really stacked up against you. Of course, you're going to have seasons and moments where you feel very strong urges to prioritize work instead of yourself, and you're going to slip into it. It's okay. The reason why I help my clients to identify these cycles is because when it looks normal and it's no longer a problem that these cycles even exist, then they're able to let go of the shame and the guilt that comes along with it. Because if we want to make really huge strides towards changing these cycles, it's going to be a lot easier to do when you are not fighting an internal battle of guilt that comes along with the shame and the not enoughness. And that's going to get in the way of you actually figuring out how to do this, you know, more easily in the future and how to change these cycles, right? It becomes the shame and the guilt and the blame become these internal roadblocks that makes it really difficult to make habit change, right? So the first thing I want to offer to you is that it's totally okay that you fall back into over-prioritizing work. It's normal. I would expect it. It's not a problem. Okay, the second thing I want to offer to you is to step back and analyze this just as if it was a friend, right? It's always easier to see a pattern and to see what's going on in someone else's life. It's much harder to do it in our own. So I want you to analyze these cycles of slipping back into over-prioritizing work as if it was a friend, right? And listen to it like in your mind as if it was a friend. What are the triggers that you notice? What do you tend to think about? What tends to cause this over-prioritizing work and less self-care? When do you tend to like schedule over your self-care time? Is it always at the end of the month? Is it always with a particular client or a particular coworker or your boss? What's happening? There's patterns here and you need to find it, right? Is there a season when meetings just tend to get heavier, a time of month when meetings tend to get heavier and this tends to happen, right? What's going on? What are these trigger cycles like that have you over-prioritizing work and scheduling over self-care? Because my guess is there's kind of something that triggers it and then you just fall into bad habits, right? Then you just kind of just keep doing it over and over and over again. But it started with a trigger somewhere and we want to understand the entire cycle, right? And then after you've analyzed it from a much more neutral place, the next question is going to be, what's just one thing you can try to mitigate this in the future, right? When one of these trigger moments happens, what's just one thing you could do differently? Now, oftentimes what I hear from my clients and then a lot of times from potential clients on breakthrough calls is when I ask them this question, like, what do you think you need to do to make change? A lot of times I just hear, you know what? I got to try a little harder. I really just got to work at this, right? That's not a strategy. If you do the same thing today and you don't change anything tomorrow, you're going to get the same results that you had today, right? If you actually want something to be different tomorrow, then you actually have to do something different, right? So you can't just try harder tomorrow. You actually have to change something. So what's one thing you can try for tomorrow? Maybe make a list of 5 things that you could try or 10 things you can try and just pick one. We don't know exactly what's going to work for you. It's a little bit trial and error. There's no cookie cutter way for your life, right? And that's one of the reasons why coaching is so effective is I'm a neutral party in your life and in your mind. I've literally had hundreds, if not thousands of conversations with individual working moms around the struggle to prioritize themselves and how to deprioritize work. Literally had 1,000+ conversations about this. I know lots and lots of strategies that have worked, but we tailor those strategies to you specifically. And the other thing we do is we tap into your knowledge. You're a smart human being that knows your life and you better than anyone else. You have great ideas too, right? We like pull those ideas, things that have worked for other people, ideas that you have, and we come up with a solution that works best for you. So I believe that you have some ideas within you. What could you do differently, right? This isn't rocket science on some level. You've read blogs, you've listened to podcasts, you've probably even read books around how to better prioritize your time, what you need to do to balance your life. Let's just find some strategies and try to experiment with them, right? So once you understand your cycles and your trigger points, then you could start tailoring some of those solutions to you specifically. All right, working moms, that is where we're going to end here. And I want to pick up next week on this listener question episode. If you want tailored solutions to you, if you want someone like myself to really listen to what's going on and help you find solutions that work for you and your life and your circumstances, I would love to connect with you on a breakthrough call. That is a 60-minute to 75-minute call where we are talking all about what are these cycles that are going on? What is happening in your life that you want to change? What is that vision of the life that you really want? And how exactly are we going to get there in coaching? We will cover all of that in our call. I encourage you to do that right now. If you've never booked one of these calls, you can go to www.RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com/book to find a time. All right, working moms, till next week, let's get to it. Hey, before you go, I want to take a moment and tell you about an opportunity to speak with me directly. If you've been listening to this podcast and still feel like you need help balancing a fulfilling career with motherhood, then I encourage you to schedule a free breakthrough call. On this call, we will get crystal clear on exactly what it is you want out of your career and how you want to balance that with motherhood. And then we'll craft next steps for you to start moving toward a more calm and fulfilling working mom life. Head over to www.RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com/book to apply for this free call. Till next week, and working moms, let's get to it.